And then, as I said earlier, I present the apologies from the CEO and the chairperson, but nevertheless, the deputy chairperson is here, and the NEC member of SALGA, Councillor Stofile, is also here. Then we, and the acting CEO is there, Mr. Lance. So I'll hand over to the deputy chair of SALGA to lead us with this discussion.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. First and foremost, let me acknowledge the presence of the minister and the deputy minister and the chair, also to congratulate you and the committee. This is our first meeting. Normally we meet in March and October. But as SALGA, we are so delighted that finally we have this committee, because for us to comply, we need to appear in front of this committee and explain ourselves. And today we were here to report to you our APP. I'll give you our APP.
Yes.
Moving forward.
The colleagues there, even the secretary, can hear you.
Oh,
and then you need to start with this council to fill it there. Go.
I can sit at the bed.
That's good.
Can you hear him now?
Can you hear me now?
You can take this one. It's good.
No, thank you very much, Chair. First and foremost, SALGA, we welcome the invitation to this committee. And the second point is to congratulate you and the committee, which is the new members of Parliament. Also acknowledge the presence of Minister Cocta and the deputy ministers that are here. The chairperson of the Demarcation Board and other entities that are here. Chair, as local government, today we are presenting our APP to the committee, but I must indicate that we thought maybe we'll have enough time in terms of explaining ourselves, but we've lifted four key strategic areas. One, just to give a background in terms of our mandate, functions, legislative framework, constitutional development. Two, that to give the planning, budgeting, and reporting. The third one is the strategic plan and annual performance plan overview. And the fourth one is the finance plan. Earlier on, we were discussing the audit outcome. But as SALGA, we, as I've indicated, that we are directly involved in terms of working with the COCTA and the National Treasurer to make sure that our municipalities are performing well. But it's very unfortunate, Chair. I should think the committee must also sort of have this information as well, that after elections, colleagues, political parties, they change the top management of municipalities. That is actually contributing negatively in terms of performance of municipalities when it comes to finances. Another point that I wanted just to raise with the committee is that we've got five KPAs as municipalities in the country, but the unfortunate part is that the report which is actually lifted in the country as if that other sort of KPIs are not important. I don't think it's a fundamental issue that we have to remove our municipalities in our space. We've got these five KPIs. Like, for instance, there are municipalities that are doing well in terms of local economic development, and then other municipalities that are doing well in terms of service delivery. Those are the KPIs, and other municipalities are doing well in terms of the institutional transformation. But it's not reported by Auditor General. Auditor General actually sort of take a portion of good governance and the municipal finances and report to the country. And the same consumers, on a lighter note, Mamuto, this morning as you were opening your tab, that is service delivery. It's a KPA of a municipality. The municipality of Cape Town gave you water this morning and electricity. That is why you are smart today. So I said on a lighter note. Or through you, Chair. So what I'm trying to emphasize, Chair, is that the assessment of municipalities, maybe as a chair and a minister, we have to educate the consumers or people of South Africa that in this country we've got the five KPIs. And those five KPIs, we assess municipalities around that sort of framework. But the report of the Auditor General occupy the space and close everything in the country as if that municipalities are doing nothing on the ground. I don't think that sort of report, we must use it. I've realized that at a higher level, senior leaders of different organizations and ministers, they only focus to one KPA, which is municipal finances, sound financial management of the municipality. And they conclude that that municipality is dysfunctional. I don't think that's a good picture. But without wasting time, Chair, I will give the acting CEO to take us through in terms of the details of our report. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not creating precedence of standing. You are multitasking. Or multitasking.
Yes.
As long as you don't preach.
I can use the last 5 minutes for that.
Okay, fine. Proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair, and also my greetings to members of the committee, the minister, deputy ministers, present. I must also, on a light note, indicate, minister, that someone said to me the other day, "Did you see the minister's bodyguards?" I said, "No, it's not the minister's bodyguards. It's the two deputy ministers, one on the left and one on the right." So they said the former president of SAGO got a promotion from the president to a bodyguard. So on them. So, Chair, we thought we will use the platform, seeing that this is a fairly new committee in terms of its membership, to as the first part create a bit of awareness around who SALGA is and what we stand for, so that when you see us frequenting this committee going forward, you would understand why we are present and sometimes appear to be a bit disruptive. So the first part will cover a background to SALGA. We will then get into the business of the invitation and walk through the planning that we do as an organization, take you through at a very high level, our strategic plan for the 5 years, touch on our plan for the third year of that 5 year plan, and then conclude on the finance part of the presentation. So starting on the background, I'm sure I may have missed it yesterday, but just to remind ourselves that this is the picture of local government in the country. So an indication of across the 9 provinces, the number of municipalities we have in each of the provinces, and the reality that we face that sometimes we don't understand the concept called wall-to-wall government, local government, meaning that every piece of soil within the country is within a municipality. So every piece of land in this country is in a municipality. And this is just an indication of the 3 types of municipalities we have and the numbers, so 8 metros, 44 districts, and 205 local municipalities, making up the 257. From a constitutional point of view, where does this concept organized local government come from? It is from the Constitution of the Republic. So you would interchangeably hear SALGA being referred to as SALGA and SALGA being referred to as organized local government. It's because when one looks at the Constitution, it specifically indicates, it refers to organized local government, and it says that there shall be organized local government at the national level and organized local government at the provincial level. And the purpose in the main is to consult with national and provincial government respectively on issues that affect local government. For SALGA to hold, organized local government to hold 10 seats in the National Council of Provinces and then nominate 2 people to the Financial and Fiscal Commission. What then happens is that following the Constitution, the next year, we see the promulgation of the Organized Local Government Act. And what it really does, it gives meat to what the Constitution has defined as the key characters of organized local government. So the Organized Local Government Act indicates how are these provincial associations and the national association, what is the criteria to be met by them. Secondly, what are the procedures that must be followed to determine the 10 seats that it will hold in the NCOP, how it will consult with national and provincial government, and then lastly, how it will nominate representatives to the FFC. So just in a single slide, if you want to understand how SALGA is composed, this slide will tell that story. So we have in all of the respective provinces municipalities. In each of the provinces, a municipality has a voluntary, very important, it's a voluntary membership that it has to organize local government. So they can decide tomorrow, we don't want to be members, or the next day they can wake up and say, now we want to be members again. But it's a voluntary nature where municipalities at a provincial level will associate themselves to the provincial associations. And in order to be the provincial association, there are 2 criteria that must be met. Firstly, you must have membership of municipalities of all of the categories. So in some provinces, you only have 2 categories. Like Limpopo, as an example, it only has districts and locals. It does not have metro, so the association must have both districts and locals as members. If you are in a province such as Gauteng, you would need to have all 3 categories, metro, district, and local. That's the first requirement. Second requirement is that you must have the majority of municipalities in that province subscribing to you. So what we then find, Chair, in each of the provinces, we have a provincial association, and they used to have different names, but they are now all SALGA and then the province. And each of those provincial associations meet the 2 criteria that have been set for them to be recognized as the provincial associations. It is those provincial associations with those members that will subscribe to the national association. And the key requirement to be the national association is to have the majority of provinces subscribing. We are fortunate in the South African context, all 9 provinces, like we have all 257 municipalities are members of provincial associations and as a consequence members of the national association as well as all of the 9 provincial associations, and that makes up, and that's how SALGA is recognized as the national association, but there are also 9 provincial associations in the respective provinces. So that's the makeup of SALGA. Then we have key mandates that have been given to SALGA, starting with the white paper on local government, and this is really just to give the members a sense that as far back as 1998, even before democratic local government, there were already discussions around what it is, this, what the role would be of this organized local government. And clearly those roles were outlined in the white paper. It's responsible for effective representation of local government. It must be the employer's organization, meaning it will represent all municipalities as the employer body. And then it's also responsible for the development of municipalities on key areas. So specialized services, research to be conducted within the municipal space, facilitating learning and peer reviews between municipalities, and then also support municipalities on HR development and capacity building with a particular focus on capacity building for your political office bearers, meaning councillors. So specific mandates given to the association through the white paper. And then if you go to the Municipal Systems Act, it also specifically allocates responsibilities to SALGA, and it says that SALGA is responsible for the development of common approaches. It must find solutions to problems within this local government space. It must enhance cooperation between municipalities and between the three spheres of government on behalf of local government. And then finally, it must meaningfully participate within the IGR space that we have in the country. So just in a nutshell, Chair, that is the background to SALGA. What are some of the key mandates that have been given to SALGA? And then the next slide will indicate, as an organization, sitting with members, what is our mandate that we have defined for ourselves? And it's based on six pillars. We call them the six pillars. But essentially, it's the six areas of focus that we have as an organization, ranging from advocacy and lobbying role that we play, the employer body role that I touched on earlier, capacity building, support and advice to municipalities, profiling local government as a sector, and then lastly, creating platforms for knowledge sharing and information sharing between our municipalities. We are a public entity, and we therefore have to comply with the Public Service Management Act, so Schedule 3A public entity. And as a public entity, as you would know, with all public entities, there's an executive authority. In the SALGA case, the Minister of COCTA is the executive authority. We have an accounting authority, and normally in public entities you will find a board. In the SALGA context, it is a National Executive Committee. And I will speak in the next slide about this National Executive Committee. And then we have an accounting officer who is the Chief Executive Officer. The makeup of the National Executive Committee that I referred to, we have a president with three deputy presidents. We have 14 additional members coming from across the respective provinces. There are provincial chairpersons from the nine provincial associations that are in an ex officio capacity part of the NEC. We also have what is referred to as the SALGA Women's Commission. It's a national structure that deals with women-related issues. It has a chairperson, but it also has provincial chapters, but there's a national chairperson. That national chairperson is part of the National Executive Committee. Then the National Executive Committee can co-opt three members, and together with the administration, that makes up, head of the administration makes up the National Executive Committee. So because we are a national association made up of municipalities and the nine provinces, the Constitution of SALGA was amended in 2016 to specifically ensure that there is inclusivity in the National Executive Committee. So what you would have is that from each of the provinces, there's at least three members on the National Executive Committee. And one thing we are proud of, Chairperson, is our gender composition. Not perfect, but as we stand, we are sitting at 14 males and 13 females, and there are a few vacancies that are going to be filled within the next month or so, and it will change this picture, hopefully more positively than negatively. So that is the composition of the National Executive Committee and the gender representation. This is the 10-person delegation we have to the National Council of Provinces, and you would clearly see each province is represented in the 10-person delegation to the National Council of Provinces, and the 10-person is the National Executive Committee rep, and in this instance it is the president of the association. Again, chairperson, we are quite fortunate, there's a 50-50 representation here, but we do have two vacancies in Gauteng and Western Cape as a direct result of the recent national and provincial elections. So that's our NCOP delegation. Just to come to the planning and the reason for our presence today is that in the development of both our strategic plan as well as our five-year plan, there are specific deadlines we must meet in terms of the legislation. And the first draft we have to submit of both, well, essentially, let me start with the strategic plan. Chair, we should indicate up front that the five-year plan is linked to the five-year plan of local government. So immediately after the elections in 2016, we had our national conference, and that national conference essentially adopted the five-year plan for the term of office. So that five-year plan has been in existence from 2017 and will run until 2022, but on an annual basis we will then develop an annual performance plan which is linked to that particular five-year plan. And the dates that we have to submit, first draft in August, second draft in November, and the final draft at the end of January. Just to give you a sense, Chair, we may be presenting to you today the annual performance plan for the current year, but I can tell you we've already started the process of the development of the annual performance plan for the next year to enable us to, by the 31st of August, submit our first draft to the department. And then we will go through further consultative processes with our members in October through our members' assembly. So in each province we will convene all of the municipalities. We will table that draft, and they will then input into that draft. It will become our second draft, which we will then submit to COFTA. And there will be further work that will be done until we finalize it for submission to COFTA by the end of January in 2020. I'm going to skip in the next few slides, Chair, and leave it with you for your own bedtime reading, but perhaps to give you a sense of where we are from as an organization, just looking at the last 10 years, our audit outcomes, we had a rough start, as you can see from this side. In fact, these 10 years were preceded by also two red blocks here. We had a number of disclaimers as an organization, but over the years we have improved. You can see the disclaimer followed by 3 years of unqualified audits, and then we started on a trajectory that showed that we are really looking at improving our financial management, and for 6 years in a row we have secured a clean audit, and we are hoping as we are, our audit is being audited, are on site as we speak, as we are concluding our audit for the 18-19 financial year, we will be able to proudly say 7 years in a row of clean audits. From a performance point of view, just to give you a sense as well, Chair, 7 years ago we were sitting at 84% performance level. That has increased over time, and you can see there we have at least over the last 6 years, been above 90% performance, and we are waiting currently, similar to the MDB. We have the auditors on site, but current indications are that for this year we're likely to get a 98% performance for the year 2018-2019 financial year. To get into the detail of the plan for the current year that we are in, and we are in month four of the current year, our plan is informed by these contextual challenges that we see in municipalities, four of them at a high level. There are key challenges around governance and capacity in municipalities. There are key challenges around, as we would have seen over the last week, on the announcement of the audit outcomes. Financial management is a challenge within our municipalities. The third area, spatial transformation and inclusion. And then lastly, service delivery and infrastructure-related challenges that we have. Informed by these four challenges as an association and linked to the mandate that we have as an organization, we have defined these three goals for ourselves. So the first goal, sustainable, inclusive economic growth underpinned by spatial transformation, is our first goal. Second goal, good governance and resilient municipal institutions. And then the third goal is linked and zooms into financial management and sustainability within municipalities. In the next few slides, Chair, we unpack these three goals. As you would see, each of these three goals have objectives, strategic objectives linked to it, and we have not gone big. We have limited these strategic objectives to make an impact at the local government level, so we do not have more than four strategic objectives linked to each of the three goals that we have. But just to give you a picture, because I'm still going to come back to the detail on each of those strategic objectives, is that just at a high level, to give you a picture, we have three goals, and underneath those goals we have 11 strategic objectives. We have 24 high-impact outcomes that we intend to achieve, and then there are 39 outputs that we have. If I have to give you a picture of 5-6 years ago, Chair, these were running in the hundreds. So we have set ourselves up to do big things with the limited capacity, and it sobered us up, and to such an extent that we wanted to have high impact with our limited resources, and as such, we had reduced but becoming more impactful as we look at our goals and the strategic objectives that comes thereunder. So just to deal with each of the goals that we have, starting with the first one, unpacking it, Chair, sustainable and inclusive economic growth, there are the four strategic objectives that we have. And just to unpack each of the four, we have contextualized them with challenges. So we've taken each of the strategic objectives. We've said what are the key challenges under that objective that municipalities are faced with. So in the first one, the first challenge is a widening funding gap for capital expenditure. We have underspending on capital budgets. We have significant electricity and water losses. We have inadequate proactive climate change strategies. And then we have poor infrastructure life cycles management within our municipalities. Those are some of the key challenges. We looked at those key challenges, and then we, based on each of the strategic objectives, we have then crafted solutions. And these solutions we would want to drive for the year that we're currently in. So under the first one, Sustainable Urban Development Program, the three key solutions we are going to drive for the year is to provide advisory support services on housing accreditation to our municipalities, to develop spatial transformation index to track and profile the successful interventions that we have within municipalities on the subject matter. And then the last point there would be to provide support on the digital transformation that we have within the local government space. On the second strategic objective, these are the key interventions we will have, or solutions that we will drive for this year. So the rollout of the rural densification program in selected municipalities, so we will pilot it in a few municipalities. We will lobby relevant structures on land assembly, land acquisition, and land release strategies. This work has already commenced in quarter one. And then we will provide local economic development, growth and investment advisory services to our members on trade, with a specific focus on trade and investment. And this is largely informed by the Council of Mayors that we had earlier this year, which focused on trade and investment at a local government level. On the other two strategies under this, strategic objectives under goal one, We have Chair, I am not sure if you would want me to run through each of them, but just to give you a snapshot, under the objective three, we have six solutions that we will drive for the year, including support on infrastructure delivery to our members and project management solutions, sharing best practices on innovative models. On the last strategic objective under goal one, some of the solutions we were driving within the community development space, developing a funding model for municipal health, and also providing municipalities with support to implement their HIV, AIDS, TB, and other STI programs that we have. So that is goal one. On goal two, which is municipal governance and resilient municipal institutions, again, four strategic objectives. The first one, to strengthen oversight and accountability in our municipalities, something that came out quite strongly in the audit outcomes that was released last week. Modernize governance systems within municipalities to foster sound and productive labor relations. And then lastly, to professionalize local government. I'm sure this committee, when we come back in the next few months to deal with legislation that was introduced by COCTA in the last term, it links very closely to this particular strategic objective when we're looking at amending the Systems Act, informed by the invalidity of the Constitutional Court. So again, like goal one, we had identified what the challenges are within this particular goal and the context that it would provide to us. So I'm sure members of the committee will agree to us. Challenges that are fairly visible at the local government level: ineffective political and administrative leadership, weakened oversight structures that we have. We are very reactionary within the local government space. There's inadequate consequences for poor performance management, as well as transgressions that we have seen. There's poorly defined and suboptimal organizational structures in relation to vis-a-vis what municipalities should be driving, informed by the constitutional mandate. And then we've also seen, quite recently preceding the national provincial elections, unstable labor relations in particular pockets across the country. Those are the challenges that we've identified. In response to those challenges, again, four strategic objectives, those are the goals, strategic objectives that we have set for ourselves with solutions that we would want to drive to respond to those particular challenges. And they are listed on the slide. One includes providing governance support to municipalities, developing an operating blueprint for municipalities to assist them in properly delivering on their mandate. Under strategic objectives 3 and 4, on the labor relations front, we want to, for this particular year, support municipalities to become more stable and resolving disputes that we have within municipalities. We have seen a recent development which is quite worrying, that despite the fact that collective bargaining is centralized, we have seen a tendency of unions trying to bargain at the local level. And it's become very worrying to an extent that in some municipalities they have been pushed to enter into agreements that are really unlawful in our view. But it's because the issue is not properly managed, and at the municipal level we're starting to take over new mandates that we do not have at the municipal level. Providing legal advisory support, I'm sure even the minister and the deputy ministers would have been briefed, Chair, that there are a number of court cases, particularly in the Eastern Cape and KZN, on disagreements on the employment of senior managers in municipalities. So we have a specific mandate to get involved in those and try and intervene where it is feasible. On professionalizing local government, we will come back to this committee, the Chair, as we raise our issues around improvements to be made to the Systems Amendment Act. it's driven by these solutions that we would want to provide as SALGA in professionalizing local government. On the last goal, which is goal 3, financial sustainability, there are 3 strategic objectives that we've identified to develop and support the implementation of financial strategies, to come up with innovative revenue enhancement strategies, and lastly, to strengthen financial management. And again, under each of these strategic objectives, and underlying this goal, we've identified what the challenges are, and then we had packaged what we would want to bring as solutions for the current year in assisting our members. But here is just a highlight of some of the challenges. Whilst this is a 2018 figure, it was recently confirmed that indeed many of our municipalities, a majority of them, are financially in distress. We've also seen municipalities, this point is an important point, we've seen last week, no less than 3 memos issued by municipalities not being able to pay salaries because of cash flow constraints. We've also seen that there's an increase in the consumer debt. Municipalities sitting with high levels of debt, both owed to them but also owed by municipalities to not only the service providers but also your bulk authorities such as ESCOM and the respective water boards. And the last point that we had made in January already is the fact that we have seen that audit outcomes are regressing, and it's a challenge, and we need to respond to that challenge head on. So these are the solutions informed by the context of the key challenges, solutions that we would want to provide to respond to that. But I thought, Chair, there is this slide that you will not have in your pack, and we apologize for that. This slide was inserted because of your first question this morning to SALGA on how is SALGA responding to the audit outcomes. So all we have done, Chair, is we had pulled out of our plan what it is, how we are going to respond to this. So essentially what we do on an annual basis, once the audit general has released the audit outcomes, we analyze those audit outcomes. We identify what we call, together with Treasury, the red zone municipalities. And then we package solutions and in terms of support to be provided directly to those particular municipalities. And these are some of the areas of support that we would provide, and in fact are providing as we speak. There are 5 key ones that I would want to highlight. The first one, records management. It remains a challenge in municipalities. If you look at the AG painfully said last week that the biggest problem is they go to municipalities, ask for documents, and they can't get it because the person who was fired last year left with everything that they had. So document management is a serious challenge we have in municipalities. But also a challenge that just yesterday was raised is that there are so many entities there are so many entities that come into municipalities and say, we've been sent to investigate. And part of our investigation, we want documents. So people arrive and they leave municipal offices with boxes and boxes of documents. There's no record of what they had taken. There is no reconciliation of, this is what you had taken, this is your signature. So when auditors come to come and audit the municipality, they know the Hawks, they were here. Last financial year, they came and they took 7 boxes of documents. Document management is a challenge, and we, together with the AG, is driving a program to respond to that particular challenge. Supply chain management, the evil of all. GIZ, ourselves, and National Treasury, we are working together in partnership to roll out a diagnostic assessment tool that will assist municipalities in identifying what the gaps are within their SCM processes. Asset management, also a challenge. If you go to audit outcomes, you'll see the municipalities do not know what they have on their books. You often hear that there's machinery that was bought and they are not on the asset register of a municipality. So there's work that we are doing. In fact, there's an internationally funded program together in partnership with the Canadians on asset management that we're currently driving in the Eastern Cape province. Then we also have specific focus on councillor oversight and financial management, and yes, looking at the oversight structures, your impacts, how can we empower those impacts to do the work that they should be doing as mandated. And then the last area, but probably a very important area, Chairperson, is accountability and consequence management. The point that was made by the AG, that there seems to be no consequence for wrongdoing and transgressions that we find within the local government space. From our side, we have developed a framework, we call it the consequence and accountability framework. It's one of the things we would want to engage with COCTA with, and perhaps also engage with this particular committee on how do we take forward what we are identifying in the framework as a response to the challenge that we have in municipalities. So just to give you a sense, Chair, that we did not merely stand by when the audit outcomes were announced. We, in fact, have crafted a plan on how we would want to, as the association, provide support to our members. On the last part, Chair, I'm nearly done with my presentation. This is the detail, but there's an easier way as a non-financial person myself to explain it to you. Like they say in our salary advisors, there's an income side, it's the left side, it's the good side, and then there's the expensive side, which is the right side, it's the deduction side, it's the bad side. We have the same in our respective institutions, there's the good side, which is the revenue side, and this is an indication of the SALGA areas of revenue, and it is quite clear as an association we are heavily dependent on our members. So 85% of our income comes from municipalities. Municipalities pay on an annual basis a subscription fee, and it ranges from municipality to municipality. We do receive, which we are thankful for, a grant to COCTA from the national fiscus of 5%. We have other grants, and I'm talking here in the main about internationally donor-funded projects. We were quite fortunate when the DM was the president of SALGA, we were able to attract a lot of donor funding, and that makes up 9% of our income. And then we have, it says, zero, but it's very small amount that we get from sponsorship, recovery, sundry revenue, and then the interest of around 1%. So that's the good side, Chair. The bad side is this is where our money goes. As an association that is largely driven through support that we provide to our members, much of our money goes into salaries. So you can see, like a consultancy firm, a very high 64%. It goes into people because our real strength is the people that we have that provide support to our members, and then 35% of it goes towards goods and services programs that we drive in the organization, and then we have less than 1% under the depreciation and the interest. Just to give you a sense, Chairperson, to understand, I have said we have three goals to give you a sense how we have allocated our revenue across the three goals. You will see that goal one, which is sustainable inclusive economic growth, gets 36% of the funding. Goal two, which is good governance and resilient municipal institutions, 16%. And then lastly, financial sustainability, goal three, receive 7%. I'm sure, Chair, many would say, fresh from the audit outcomes, while you should be allocating more money towards this area, the reality, Chair, is that audit outcomes are not necessarily only informed by financial issues. They are governance issues as well as other issues that directly impact on that. So there's a relationship between the other two goals to goal three that we have. And then what we have in the organization, we call them enablers, but it's essentially an allocation towards areas of focus that cuts across the organization. Here we're talking about research, here we're talking about knowledge management, etc. So that makes up 41% of our income that we redirect on the enablers, marketing and communication, legal, etc. Chair, that is our presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, acting CEO. Members, can I have a show of hands of members who want to have a bye? Honorable Brink, then Honorable Corneza, sorry, my apologies, Honorable Oberman, Honorable Hussein, Honorable Soul, Honorable Mpumza, Honorable Mamkise, Honorable Direko, in that order. As the lunch arrives, we'll break for lunch, but there's nothing that's been arranged that far. Can we be pushing in the meantime? I think the committee secretariat will advise us as to when we take the lunch. Yeah, but let's proceed in the meantime. In that order, Honorable Brink.
Thank you, Chair. Just three questions to the SAGA leadership representative. The first one, you are part of the interministerial task team that looks at municipal debt to ESCOM, if I'm correct. And I think also a very crucial part is representing organized local government, as you mentioned. Now, about 2 weeks ago, there was an ESCOM spokesperson who spoke to FIN24, and he said that local authorities owe ESCOM 21 billion rand in arrear debt, and that the majority of the municipalities, I think about 45 of the 52, have defaulted on payment arrangements that have already been made. That debt, according to this very same report, has grown by something like 35% in the past year. Now project that into the future, a year from now, and you can imagine that some of your members will be in a great deal of trouble. My question on that is, what insights can you offer us as the portfolio committee on the reasons why a particular number of municipalities just cannot get on top of this debt? Something more than just financial management skills, or a little bit more from the perspective of your members. And do you have an example of where you've assisted one of these members with a specific intervention to get on top of the debt? So you came in, you gave support, you made a plan, and they reduced the debt from 200 million to nothing within a particular period, or something similar. Just an example to give us a bit of hope and perhaps to share the wisdom. My second question, Chair, and I don't mean to be vicious. I'm asking for the sake of oversight. If we look at strategic pillars or goals, I'm not quite sure which one, relating to financial sustainability as well as good governance, and you look at the trajectory of local governments in the past 5 years, not just audit outcomes, forget about clean audits and qualified audits, in terms of supply chain management irregularities, unfunded budgets, inability to pay creditors, including ESCOM and water boards, don't you think that you have perhaps failed your members, or at least that the trajectory of local government, the downward trajectory, you must account for a bit of that failure as an organization? And the only thing I'm inviting here is a bit of introspection. Chair, my last question is, there are several bodies that assist local authorities. You have the city support network of National Treasury that does excellent work. You have the SA Cities Network, which I think is a completely voluntary association and also does valuable things. And then you have SALGA and your institutional development and support programs. Do you ever ask yourself whether there might be a duplication between all of these organizations? And by duplication, it implies a waste of resources. And should you not perhaps look at the particulars of your mandate in order to best to give the best value add to those municipalities in need? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Opperman.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been a councillor for more than a decade, so I've got a couple of questions. In terms of categorization of municipalities, we have huge challenges in terms of remuneration of councillors. Different grades are creating problems because councillors feel they all do the same work and they are adamant that categorization should be uniform. This said, is there any amalgamation possibilities for Category B municipalities that use a plenary executive system? Then there's very poor cooperation and intergovernmental relations between municipalities and departments in terms of the municipalities' IDPs. Are there any strategic plans in place to strengthen this? For, as was said previously, we are all interdependent. Then there's a very high amount of debt owed from municipalities to SALGA. Is there a strategic plan in place to assist? For municipalities are desperate for their assistance, but in terms of plenary municipalities, they just cannot afford to pay. And then 60% of municipalities have debtor levels higher than 30% of their own revenue. In a quarter of them collect less than 50% of revenue owed to them. So apart from the financial recovery plan, is there any strategic plans to counter this? And then remuneration for MMs and senior managers are not competitive. Therefore, small municipalities cannot retain and attract skilled senior staff. There is instances where municipalities advertise 4 to 5 times and yet they still cannot fill these positions because municipalities cannot afford or offer competitive salaries. Are there any way that SALGA can help these municipalities? Because right now we're sitting with the instance that 70% of municipal officials are unqualified. And how can SALGA help municipalities to address this situation? And are there any strategic plans on a focus of how we can lure investment to small communities to counter rapid urbanization?
Honorable Lose.
Chairperson, thank you. I think that I have more of a comment than a question. I might raise just one broad question in the end.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to share with you, Chairperson, and for the rest of the colleagues around the table, how I feel at the moment.
Okay.
For everybody's benefit. We went through yesterday what I thought was some very good presentations, and so too we have gone through today.
Mm.
And if I can describe it, I think these presentations give you a very, you know, a feel-good feeling, if I can put it to you that way. You listen to it, and you think that, you know, there's quite a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew in my life before that there was an entity called MISA. I learned it for the first time. I was
okay.
A councillor for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, you look at it in overall, and I'm just sitting here reflecting on
mm-hmm.
what my experience has been, having listened to MISA, cooperative governance, and now SALGA. And I sit and I wonder, firstly, let me acknowledge, I think since 1996, many municipalities have made many, many great advances. More people today have water and electricity than they've ever had before, and sanitation. So I don't want to sound, what I'm going to say next, I don't want to sound like as if we don't recognize some of the progresses, good progresses that we've made. So you've got MISA, you've got SAGA, you've got cooperative governance, and when you add all of the monies that they're spending, it runs into billions of rands, billions and billions of rands. And this is 1 year. And Minister, you said something so important yesterday. You said, we must speak to people and tell them to be patient when they toy on the street and they destroy. For me, that's the indicator. That is the indicator. When not all of these little indicators that we've, because the people on the street don't understand those things. For me, that's the indicator. And that then I ask myself the question sitting here thinking, how is it? We've got MISA, we've got COCTA, we've got SALGA, we've got, I don't know, there's so much of support that's being provided for local governments. And SALGA's been around for a long time, MISA's been around for a long time. If you add how many billions we've poured into COCTA over the years. And then, Minister, when you read this one slide on fiscal and financial management challenges, you know, us as public representatives, you just have to ask yourself the question, how? Just how is it possible that after all the years of billions of rands of investment, of all the feel-good presentations that we get from officials, that you can have an official that can take a box of documents and go home, and I can probably put money on it to say, I don't think that official was charged and sitting in jail at the moment for theft. I can almost put money on it. And I think therein lies our problem, Minister. I've heard some of the comments from the chairperson earlier, and something that the DG said to me, which I thought was fascinating, when he my reference to clean audits and his response to, well, we must, if they pass, it's fine. You know, 60% pass, I think, is not fine. Because 40% of people of the communities are toying on the street then. And then the minister and our public representatives have to deal with it. Because I think if I had a car wash and the DG brought his car to my car wash and I washed 60% of it and I said it's passed, he won't be happy. So I just I'm making these comments because I'm reflecting on what I've heard and what I've seen. And granted, I think there's brilliant, good work being done. But ultimately, Chairperson, it's not converting or transforming on the ground where people actually see it and feel it and have a sense of confidence that things are getting better in municipalities. I sit here with a sense of feeling that municipalities are getting worse. And the documents are getting, they make you feel even better. And the presentations make you feel even better. I know that there are some interventions. And I was impressed by some of the interventions that the gentleman has talked about around the audit outcomes. But, you know, I feel a sense, and I've been through this movie a few times. You come back the year later, and then you get another document and another presentation and more. So the question I have is, and I don't know who's going to answer it, when is it going to change? Just when? My good colleague on the other end of the table said this was a high-level report. I have a high-level question. When is it going to change? And I'll go on about the 18 municipalities again, because to me that's just not good enough. The president of SALGA said, for as long as we can get clean audits, it's an indication of good service delivery. I support that. And if at a leadership level, if we can say that, oh, if you pass, it's fine, then we'll get more people toying on the street and destroying the public infrastructure. That's the harsh reality. And then the minister was going to take the hit for it, and the rest of us who are out in the field have to explain. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson and Salka. I'm really impressed by your presentation. It was really good, meaning you have done well, even if we are not there. But from the presentation, I can see and listen that you have been doing very well. But we have some key
challenges. Now the question is that, do you have any strategic plan, as you mentioned in one of your key challenges, that there are some ineffective poor administrative management that leads to the failure of implementation of indigent policies to some metro municipalities? This needs immediate attention because it affects our people on the ground. Then the issue of document management, as you mentioned, that is a problem. I think maybe you should also have some data capturing specifically for future reference for all the government documents. I think that will be very good. Then again, some other challenges that you mentioned here, that half of the country's municipalities are in financial distress. I think to stop this endemic problem of poor financial management, maybe that leads to this poor continuous negative audit outcome. I can ask Hori, is there an effective mechanism that you can put in place so that you can strengthen your management and many other problems that affect our municipalities? I thank you.
Honorable Bumper? Yes, no, you're coming. You're gonna come. Your turn is gonna come. We are doing this for you.
Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Chairperson, goal one is supposed to be underpinned, in order to realize it, underpinned by spatial transformation. And indeed, spatial transformation is a bridgehead. To address the skewed spatial planning, which directly affects negatively the social and economic growth in municipalities. Now, the key issue here is that I've seen the solutions that are to address in order to achieve that particular goal. We Parliament actually legislated and actually devolved the function of spatial planning to municipalities through an act, SPLUMA, the Spatial Land Use Management Act. And in most of the rural provinces, the rollout of that particular act to actually embed it in municipalities has been opposed by traditional business. And this actually is affecting, in fact exposing municipalities to serious litigation by service providers around the question of planning, development planning. Now, and this also would arrest the actual transforming spaces in order to effect inclusive economic growth. Now, to what extent did SALGA lobbied and pushed hard to ensure that SPLUMA is being rolled out not only in the metros and in the big cities, but also in the rural areas throughout the world, all municipalities in South Africa? That's one question. The other one, Chair, relates to the fact that your legacy report was indicating that the electricity, the municipal electricity debt crisis there has not been a substantive progress despite the intervention by the IMTD. The report was indicating. Also here, the report indicates that SAGA is saying part of the solution would be the resolution of the overlap of that function, because constitutionally the function of registration is a function of municipality assigned by the constitution. Now, what has been the handicap in actually assigning this particular function to municipalities throughout the country, particularly municipalities in the rural settings? They are not even licensed, so it's only ESCOM. And as a result, this is a critical challenge, because when ESCOM switch off, communities do not go to ESCOM, because ESCOM might not have the office in that small municipality. So municipalities, ESCOM residents would go to a municipality, and municipalities are found wanting to respond as to what is the problem. Now the question is, then to what extent is SALGA pushing and lobbying towards the actually assigning this constitutional function to municipalities? And also, because that assignment is a measure towards the resolution also of this municipal debt crisis. Because it's not only municipalities that are owing ESCOM billions. Also, municipalities are owed billions in terms of their revenue. And then this is a measure for municipalities also to effect their credit control. Currently now they can't, because they are not performing that particular sub-function. So they can't say, I will actually perhaps effect and disconnect pay. So they can't. It's not a measure on them. So in the result, they can't raise their revenue. To what extent are we moving in that particular area? The last share to me would be relating to the SALGA is said to be reliant 85% on member municipalities, and currently a number of those member municipalities are indigent themselves to affiliate to SALGA. Is this 5% grant from COGDA sufficient for SALGA to undertake its mandate of transforming the municipalities? That's it.
Thank you. Now it's your turn.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, let me thank the presentation and thank the Deputy President of SALGA about the opening remarks. And he also alluded that we have a clean water. That is why we are good and well in our body. We wash our body and our teeth and everything. Also, yes, he was right, Chairperson. Chairperson, the presentation is well and good, as my colleagues on my left say, all of them. Yes, presentation is very good, but the action is not good. Why I'm saying it's not good, honorable chair, it's because if I can ask the SALGA, COGDA department has many entities, as one of our colleagues say, has many entities, all of them talking about strategic objectives and goals. Yes, they're talking about all of them. But I want to ask, just maybe I'm lost because I'm the first time I'm in this committee. It's the first time. I want to ask, what is the role of SALGA? What is the role of SALGA? Why I'm asking this chair? Chairperson, we do have this clean water here in Cape Town. At Matole, they don't have clean water. Matole region is at Eastern Cape. They don't have clean water, President, Deputy President, through your chair. They don't have clean water. They are still drinking water with cows, goats, and donkeys. Matole region, Matole municipality, district, yes. I forgot the Molanyana portion area that I was there doing door to door. Hey, people were crying there. Go there, President, Deputy President. You see. And also, is all worth getting clean water according to the SALC? Did you achieve or done what auditing about service delivery? The answer says no. Why I'm saying no? Because in my ward where I came from, there is no water. There's no clean water. Mzinyat municipality. But you're going to say MZink. Ward 6. The pipe are there. Infrastructure is there, but not functioning. If the SALC I can rely to councillors or people or mini or MECs and just because I can see money distributed somewhere or whatever, even in the MISA. But the problem that you are sitting with department or entities, you are not monitoring what you have done in your municipalities that you talk about. You talk about individual municipality background. We are in the background, number 6. Background, your legislative framework for organized local government, LOG, individual municipality. Which individual municipality that you are organizing? Because I'm talking about Matole, no water, clean water, people are crying. I'm talking about Mzinyati, no water. This individual you are talking about here in this presentation is which municipality? Name one, so that we understand when we are going to do our oversight, we'll shoot straight. We're not going and ask, did you see SALCA coming here monitoring you? No, we don't want to do that. We want to come, we want to leave here and shoot straight to the municipality. Comrade Chair, I want to, why I'm asking this role, because we're sitting as a government and municipalities. We are sitting with some of mayors who are being put in jail. What is the role of SALC or SALC in that? Why this SALC, they are not assisting these mayors to be not being corrupt? Because they are put in jail because of they have allegation of things to say they are corrupt. What is the role of SALC on that? Many mayors, I have cases. I can maybe name three of them. The first of them, it was what is that? So now Utugela, yes, Utugela. Millions have been disappeared there. Where is the SALC? SALC, where is the SALC on that? What is the job, the work of SALC actually on top of the all these individual municipalities? If you are not optimistic about corruption, because we are talking money here, honorable members. We are here because of money. People, they are getting paid to do their work, but they are doing their work into paper, not to see with your eyes. Because you see, if you are relying to the municipality, they will tell you lies every day. You will come here and tell us, about those lives that even you're not knowing about them. Municipalities, they are stealing money every day. Service delivery is not there. Money is going. But the service delivery is not there. If you are still staying at Gauteng province with chance or informal settlement mushrooming who are not in realignment, where is Saka? Saka, yeah. The realignment, it can show that the service delivery to the people who are staying in those chats because they will having a service delivery. If somebody is sick, the ambulance can come in. If the chat is burned by fire, the disaster management or AMF, it can come in. But as we are sitting here, we have formal settlement that is too much congested. Even you to come in, you must just make like this so that you can arrive to the house that you wanted, to the shelter that you wanted. Where is the Salka? What is doing the Salka on top of that? Because I thought maybe Salka is the overseer or overseeing municipality about service delivery, what they are doing. I think we must learn, all of us, as workers of the government, to not relying to the individual or to the individual municipality to come. Tina, you are here to tell us about this. But Tina, we want to go with our there to see with our eyes so that we will talk about the things that we saw. Not to say we'll be relying on this paper just sitting here. Okay. I think even you must practice what you ask, you are practicing. Go to the municipality. Tell them to show what they are doing. You must see and put it on your record what the municipalities have done about the money that they've got from the MISA, from the other entities, maybe from you. I don't know whether you have given the money, but I know that yesterday MISA told us about 15 billion, 9 billion point something, give it to the municipalities. But there is no service delivery. I think SALGA is supposed to oversee those things. But hey, municipalities, what happened? People are still staying in this. And SALGA, I think go and study. Go back and study. Don't play with us. We want to see service delivered with our eyes, not to be told what you are doing, what you are not doing, what you achieve, what you do not achieve. But let me stop there, because if I can continue, come the chairperson, No, I can see that, yes, your presentation is well and good. And why? But let me stop there.
Thank you, Honorable Director.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson. You know, since yesterday we've been listening to the presentation, and they are all very good. And they give you a hope to say, if everything that is written in this paper could be implemented, then we'll have a better institution. On the SALGA mandate, it speaks about capacity building. So my question is that, on capacity building, if indeed our municipalities was well capacitated, it means that we would have had a good governance, will have a good financial management, and will not have a bloated municipality. So what I would like to know is that, is there any challenges between SALGA and the municipality in ensuring that the strategies that SALGA has come with are implemented in the municipality? If there are those challenges, what can be done in order to ensure that all the strategies that you come with are implemented at that local, in the municipality? you know, the Honorable Chairperson, the unfortunate part is that when I'm asking those questions, it's because I was once a councillor, and the Speaker of the Municipality is also here, my former municipality, together with the district mayor of where I come from. So some of the questions may be reverted back to me. And then, the other issue is there's a very good strategic objective on the issue of economic development and also the issue of land. My question is to say, how far are you in terms of implementing those strategies? The reason why I'm asking is because we've recently witnessed a high level of land cuts in our area. But I believe that if we can fast track this implementation of land release strategies, then we'll be able to deal with such matters. And then the other issue is this one of economic development. In most areas, most municipalities, the economy is declining. And the unfortunate part is that some of them, they do not even have a plan B on dealing with the economy and stuff like that. So I just want to check to say, how far are you in ensuring that at least we relieve the municipality and we deal with our issues of the economy? And then the other one, where you are speaking about the partnership agreement between SALGA and SALGA, ESCOM and municipalities. I believe this is not for the first time we are talking about this partnership. The municipality has been having some challenges with ESCOM for a very long time. I just want to check to say, previously there were agreements between municipality, SALGA and ESCOM. Were those agreements honored? Or are they still working? Or is there changes on those agreements, or do they need a review on that matter? And then the other issue which was raised, it was the issue of municipal, the issue of revenue collection. I just want to tell you, because some of the municipalities do have a problem with the debtor, and they are also being owed by the members. So how do we ensure that we deal with the issue of, we come up with the revenue enhancement strategy? The previous one that we had in order to assist municipalities, did it work or not? And then the other matter is on issue of labor matters. In my other life as a councillor, I came across a very problematic collective governing agreement between the government, between the municipality and the labor movement, where the agreement was showing that municipality and that labor movement, they were co-governing. The labor movement will tell you that no, the administration do not have a right to hire these people, because the collective bargaining agreement is saying when they are hiring, we must be part of that and we must be part of the panel that decides. So it became a very problematic to a point whereby other posts were advertised and they had to freeze the post because there was that issue which was there. So my advice would be, at least let's go back to municipality and ensure that we emphasize more, we train them on issues of labor, so that the very same mistake that was committed there, we don't commit it to other institutions. Or where there's such a mistake that had happened previously, then we deal with such a mistake. But apart from that, we welcome the presentation that has been made, and we believe that should it be implemented, at least we'll be able to see differences in our municipality. However, we also like to have a detailed one where the strategies will have a time frame, so that at least we are able to measure ourselves to say this is what we have agreed to do, and then this has been done, whether we met our time frame or not. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Members, Honorable Slow and Honorable Mpombe, like they omitted something or they thought the other colleagues will ask. Yeah, I'll start with the Honorable Tong, followed by Honorable Mbunda.
Okay, yes, Salga.
the question. Is there any act that regulate by laws for businesses owned by foreign nationals in our municipality? Why am I saying this? In Gauteng, our economic growth has declined because it is dominated by these foreign nationals, and the businesses that they are running, they don't put their money in the bank. Maybe they are taking their money back to their countries. Like, we can make an example in Egypt. They are running their business in our country. They are taking money to their countries. As of now, they built 32 universities. How many universities do you have in South Africa? So we need to consider that. This is a serious issue that you, Saga, you need to go and have a thorough discussion about this, the bylaws and acts. Please, we are begging you. We cannot continue having the foreign nationals, everybody is coming in this country. It is as if it is a dumping, area, especially in Gauteng. I thank you.
Okay.
And what else? I think
Honorable Chair, I forgot one question, Chair. On a goal to the government, the President, Mr. One can also suggest that the government framework throughout the South, but one challenge is that the soft level the challenge being the relational setup, that is the relation that I talked amongst and between the councillors, and as well as between councillors and administration, and which impact negatively on government. What is it that SALGA, as part of transforming and establishing the resilient government, that SALGA is doing in addressing that particular issue, so that the stability in the institutions, because once the relations between labor and leadership and amongst themselves, if they are not sound, definitely we will get to the status where we'll get that to say that if there is a framework of record management, so those matters, if then relations are not that sound, definitely even if there is a framework on record management, the auditor general will find that they are not there, so they will be deliberately removed as part of being used as the tools in this adversarial relationship. In the first part.
Just one chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I want to also, in page 32, Chair, they talk about performance management solution to municipalities. Continue to deliver skills development, products, and programs in leadership and governance. I'm worried about this clause because it doesn't mesh what is happening physically. This clause doesn't mesh anymore. One, skills. I don't know which skills you are providing to the mayors or to the mayors or to the staff members. Because it seems like municipalities, they don't have skills. If they do have skills and understanding and getting advice, correctly advised, they won't mess up money and
giving tenders unprocedurally. Because they do have skills. Like you said, you are providing here solution of skills. It is not meshing. It doesn't mesh what we are saying here and what is happening out elsewhere. It doesn't mesh. Through you, Chairperson, it doesn't mesh. The solution of SAALQA, what is the solution that you are talking about? We want these millions to come back, those who are being distributed by municipality, of Uthukela municipality. I was see it on TV today, early in the morning, when I wake up. They were talking about Uthukela municipality. Take 5 million, give someone else, take what, how much million, give whatever, and tenders were unprocedurally and whatever. But if you are providing skills and advice correctly, they will not be doing that. Which means, SAALQA, you are not doing that you're supposed to do. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we go to slide number 40? 40 MTES 29 2014. I understand the role of SAALQA is to support municipalities, but then when you look at your mandate, you are an employer body, you have a responsibility to do capacity building, support and advise, strategic profiling, knowledge and information sharing. Then you check your compensation for employees is at 64%. That is way above the norm. In fact, it's double the norm, the required norm. Such that then it means that your budget, instead of it going to your core functions, then we are spending money on staff. Looking at all these support structures, as Honorable Lucen has said earlier, because you check also these other entities, municipalities are also staff. That's the reality. And all these issues that you have raised is the issue of competence, capacity. But then when they advertise position, they say these are the minimum requirements. You expect people to be having the competency areas to do their work. I'm raising this because really it's an area of concern on our side. Why is it like this? The other things, we know we can blame you, but we can't be blaming you because it comes to that issue of cooperative governance. Structurally wise, in terms of Chapter 3 of the Constitution, we have all this MINIMEC, everything, the coordinating committees, wherein councillors, ministers, everybody sees. IGR structures are there. It comes back to that issue that Honorable Hussein and Mam Kizer have raised earlier to say. Are we not spending much time maybe in meetings than doing the actual work on the ground? Are we not spending much time in meetings instead of doing the actual work in the ground? Where I'm seated, you are an association, I understand that. Don't you see that it's high time that you also make it a requirement for a person to sit in that NEC, in that provincial structure of SAALQA? That should be a shining municipality. You must lead by example. The leader, these are the issues that we're trying to say. In those cases where you are meeting as SAALQA, do you really share best practices? Are we sharing best practices? Because amongst all the I know there are municipalities, as the chair is saying, that are doing on certain aspects. But the hard reality is that when you see protests, people are not happy. It's a pity you are at the coal face. Our people don't want to know this is a competency of human settlement or it's a national responsibility. The people at the coal face is the local government. Whenever, in fact, even the national government is judged based on the performance of local government. So I should think
this is the matter as we discuss, because we won't absorb the area today. I think we need to sit gently together, having listened to the comments. There are issues that we will have to respond to now. Others are matters that we should collectively find a way to then navigate through together, all of us. We just need to help each other. But Chair, I'll hand over to you. You deal with these issues that you feel they have to be attended to. But others, I think you've heard the tone of the members. I don't have to repeat myself. You've heard their tone.
Yes, Tofia.
You will say this one I'm giving you to.
Chair, what I will do, because there are technical questions and political questions, but political questions, I will share them with Councillor Stofile, but can I start with the CEO, acting CEO, to tackle the technical questions, then after that, Councillor Stofile, then I will actually sort of close.
Well, thanks, Chair. Some of the technical questions, there's one I can't avoid, Chair. Every time we have come to the Portfolio Committee, the issue of councillor remuneration is raised. The issue that is raised is around, in the main, we have this practice at local government that we have 6 grades for councillors to be remunerated. Grade 6 being the highest, grade 1 being the lowest. Your metros are usually a grade 6, and your very small municipalities are grade 1. And the usual accusation we get is, why are you grading people differently when a councillor is a councillor? They don't have office hours, they work 24 hours a day, they 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Why do you have a grade 6 councillor part-time? What councillor, and a grade 1 what councillor? So it is a difficulty that has been there, and I can perhaps indicate to the member that the Independent Commission for the Remuneration of Public Office Bearers has recently done a review of the remuneration of public office bearers at the local government level, and there are recommendations that are being made to address the issue that is being raised around how do we manage this grading system that we find at the local government level. Perhaps I could refer the member to that report from the Commission. It's a November 2017 approved report of the Commission. The issue that is raised on IDP participation, particularly of provincial national government, we can only lament on the same issue ourselves, is that there is a lack of participation. We've just gone through in the last 3 months IDP processes in municipalities, and there was a lack of participation from provincial government and national government in those processes, where municipalities are planning to do things, but yet the other two spheres of government are not present to have the conversation and influence the plans of municipalities. On the debt owed to SALGA, Chair, it's a problem. I can, for instance, share with you last week on Tuesday in the Eastern Cape, we had convened municipalities for them to give us an indication of areas they would want support from us. And there were 2 municipalities present, and when they started speaking, they were saying, we know we are coming to ask you to help us, but we have not paid you for 3 years. If it was the private sector, we would have asked them to leave immediately. But because we are a membership-based organization, we had to listen. Because we also need to assess to what extent does the support that we provide to our members assist them to increase their own revenue such that they are able to pay us. it's a problem that we've been having. It's not new. It has certainly been around for the last 20 years and will probably be around for the next 20 years. It is how we respond, and I think the NEC of Salga is currently considering how do we deal with this particular challenge that we have. I think I agree with the point made that in particularly your small rural municipalities, because of where they find themselves, they are unable to attract people with the right skill to come and work, settle there, contribute to the local economy, and pay them a competitive salary. And even where they do attract people, it becomes a training ground. As soon as they have picked up the relevant experience, they move on to better municipalities. So your small municipalities lose to your bigger municipalities, particularly because of better salaries, but also conditions in terms of bigger cities, etc., that could be offered to them. And it's a real challenge that we have.
Can I just interject you a bit? The minister wants to say something before she leaves to her next meeting. Can you allow that to come and put it on hold a bit? Thank you. Switch up the mic.
Sorry. I had said I needed to go and see another board. So I have to go. But I just wanted to clear one thing. I'm not answering for something. The Honourable Hussein said that I said people should be patient and not destroy property. Yes, they can protest. They are right, and they must protest. But really, I think they shouldn't destroy property. And I think Salga should also teach that. Because you see, you pick a road that is cut. The following day, the ambulance can't come out. The women are dying because the hospital is on the other side. The trucks coming in or leaving can't come, so the economy goes down. So in the end, we are moving backwards. Because now, what was going to maybe do something else, now that money is to come and repair the road. And that's the only thing I'm saying. Not to say they mustn't protest. I'm not saying they must be patient and not protest. But destroying property doesn't take us forward. It just takes us backwards. And the second thing, you asked a very important question, when is it going to change? I don't know. We'll have to first as government and the civil servants to the change that we want to see. As I think it was Mahatma Gandhi who said. Because if we, that's why yesterday I said, we can't have a disclaimer and then go to municipalities and say don't have a disclaimer or have a clean audit. So we must try our best ourselves. You can only do your best. Try our best ourselves, each and every one of us, and then inspire the municipalities as we support them. But as Honorable Mamkiza said, maybe we should be allowed also not to sit in offices all the time, in meetings in parliament all the time. We should be allowed also to go out, and I hope this committee, when we are not sitting on the parliamentary benches, will talk on our behalf to say we also have to be out there. Because it's difficult to help people by remote control. So it's just, I don't know when it should change. We can't say that, but we just have to work at it and hope. And hopefully in a few years' time, we'll see the difference. But before I leave, I get very worried, comrade. So when we start blaming foreigners for our economy, for our woes, they may contribute, but very little to our woes. I don't think they are the main contributor. I know it's not a popular thing to say, but I'm used to saying unpopular things. it really cannot be that we say our economy is declining because of the foreigner. No. Our economy is declining for many reasons, but not for the foreigner. We don't have time, but I think one day we should just unpack this thing. Really unpack it. You know, when the 2013 or 14 attacks on foreigners happened, we had to do a lot of work to get MTN, which is a South African company that's all over the continent, not to be torched, not to be attacked. I was at the AU at the time. I had to do a lot of work because we talk as though we don't go out ourselves. MTN makes its money more outside on the continent than it does here in South Africa. And they came to me, I was at the AU, they said, what, Chairperson, fortunately they liked me. They said, Chairperson, what do you want us to do with you when your people are doing what they are doing to us, to our people in South Africa? And it's really something that we must sit and talk. It's not popular to say it, but I will say it. Because we now have a free trade, continental free trade. Our people are going to be making more money on the continent, trading. And then if we then start saying, I think foreigners who are doing things that are wrong must be arrested, like any criminal. If they are doing criminal things, arrest and deport them. But I'm just saying in this committee, let's have a proper discussion about this. I wouldn't really leave here without saying let's do that about how we view foreigners in this country. Thank you.
Do we finish? Yes. Let's finish. Yeah, excuse me. Okay, thank you so much for coming. We are so humbled and privileged to always have you in our midst. The translation for those who didn't hear, she's saying because I want to stay properly while I'm here in Parliament, I have a good time in Parliament. That was.
I don't respect the portfolio committee, I'll have a rough time.
Yeah.
thanks, Chair. Two quick ones I'll respond to, and then I will allow the principals to respond.
Members, immediately when they finish, when I have them, we relax as we are having lunch so that we should be ready for the commission.
Yeah.
My apologies for starting.
Chair, the two quick ones. The first one, the Honourable Brun raised the issue around Eskom and debts owed to Eskom. And a problem statement in responding to the question is that many municipalities, because of the pressures they find themselves under in owing Eskom, have been forced into a corner because they are threatened with cut-offs, have been forced into a corner to conclude agreements, settlement agreements with Eskom. 99.9% of the settlement agreements that were entered into are unsound and unaffordable to municipalities. They will pay the first month and they will then start reneging on the payments because it is unaffordable to do so. So the problem is, in the main, is acknowledging that there's a debt, but entering into an agreement that will ensure that both Eskom and municipality will be happy with, such that it's affordable for a municipality to pay, because it is thumbsucked. The repayment levels are thumbsucked. Now, you've asked for an example where support has been given and there's a good story to be told. There is a small municipality. It used to be three municipalities. It is now a single municipality following the August 2016 elections. It's called Dr. Bairns Nodia Municipality in the Eastern Cape. They owed huge amounts to Eskom. They were forced into entering into an agreement. That agreement was utter unsustainable. We went together with Treasury. We provided support to that municipality, looked at their financials, and came up with a proposal on what should be a more affordable repayment based on the debts owed. And that municipality has been able to sustain its payment plan. So Eskom is happy, and they are happy because they don't have to worry about the lights going off. But the amount is largely reduced from what was initially thumbsucked as a repayment. So there is a good story to be told, and the same thing should happen with other municipalities. Is in partnership with Treasury, there should be an assessment what is an appropriate repayment plan to assist those municipalities to sustain the repayments of the debts owed to Eskom as well as the debts owed to water boards. The second issue, Chair, and then I will sit down, is the challenges around labor relations in municipalities. And as I said in my presentation, we have this problem where at a local labor forum, so in each municipality there is a local labor forum, and it's a meeting between employer representatives and the employer representatives, meaning the municipality and the unions. And there were many things that were being subjected to negotiation which is not within the jurisdiction or scope of the local labor forum. And those issues have created problems in municipalities. So what the unions would do, so gains, well, what they can't win during central bargaining, they localize them and they come and negotiate them at the local level. And it creates huge problems resulting in this co-governing that is being presented as a problem. So how have we responded? We have raised the matter with the South African Local Government Bargaining Council, and it has been agreed that we need to go back to municipalities and train them on what is the role, function and scope of a local labor forum. Who should be sitting there and who should not be sitting there? So that is ongoing work as we speak, Chair, to try and respond to that problem of the labor challenges that we have in our municipalities. Thanks, Chair. I will allow others to respond. Thanks.
Can
you
hear me?
Yes,
can you
Thank you, Chair. I thought Lance would finish on the 21 billion old and the IMTT. I thought you should maybe I will leave it to the President, Deputy President, to respond to. But what I will also request, Chair, maybe as we come back to you, we must be given an opportunity to share with you the impact of Eskom in Sandton and Alexander within the context of spatial transformation, and wherein we will reflect to the committee what we have picked up in terms of Eskom providing electricity vis-a-vis electricity provided by the municipality in Alex. In our view and our understanding and research that we've conducted is that the poor continue subsidizing the rich. And I hope within that context we had to come back with regard to that. I think the issue of the agreements and powers, Lance have spoken to it. The other issue that we must have a conversation about is that the Honorable Mamkhize spoke about the corruption. And the corruption is a deep problem that we are facing in South Africa. And it will be important at an appropriate time to have a proper conversation about it. What we see as an association, and openly and frankly, in so far as what is happening, and with regard to that. I think the earlier point that Lance was making, which I found one honourable member a little bit uncomfortable with, for instance, how these cooperative governance principles work in an event where one of the part of the state security agents went to a municipality and confiscated documents, and Auditor General come tomorrow and want the same documents. Who's going to account and how to account for that? And these are the issues that we are saying. For instance, I can make an example. Maluti Apufung, for instance. Documents were confiscated. And Auditor General by Hawks.
Okay.
And I mean by ESCOM. Okay, by ESCOM. And Auditor General, when it comes, it can't find documents. Is that a municipal responsibility? I think to me there is a weakness on the cooperative governance framework in terms of how do we then deal with matters of other spheres of government and how do you cooperate insofar as that issue is concerned. I think to me it's important for us to unpack these issues so that the committee, it must appreciate the challenges that local government is facing within the hullabaloo, that there are no documents are missing and so on. We don't know the other part of the part of the coin, the other part of the same coin. So it's a matter that I think at some appropriate time we have to unravel and deal with them. If all of us we are concerned about bettering the municipal document management processes. I think let me end on those two. I think Lance have answered sufficiently on the issues of the labor relations and other matters.
Chair, without wasting time, the quality of questions from this committee suggests that we need a day where we can explain ourselves to you as you get to Parliament. You can represent this committee knowing exactly what is taking place on the ground. But as SALGA, we do have that information. And then we also suggested to the minister that we need to give you a list of issues that can empower you in terms of if you stand there in Parliament, you can be able to respond appropriately and with the relevant and current issues that need your attention. So that meeting is still outstanding. But for the committee maybe to sit here and give you an answer and then there's a follow-up, give you an answer, there's a follow-up, but you will spend almost the whole day. But quickly, let me just get to some small issues that I think. The IMTT, yes, we have actually served there, and then Councillor Stofil partly and the COO tried to give a scope. The city network structure is meant to respond to the urban development strategy. It's not an organization. It's actually working under us. Okay? But for the fact that we have realized that in the country, people from the rural areas, small towns, they're actually moving out to big cities. Therefore, we've actually assigned them. Prepare yourself, then we can actually sort of engage National Treasury and COCTA in terms of giving you grant. Therefore, you can respond to this need. As a result, we're actually sort of in control of that structure. It's just a network. The other issue that you are raising, of which I'm referring to, as it needs sort of a day or two, the impact of SALGA in terms of assisting or supporting municipalities. In page 8 of our presentation, we have tried to narrate the mandate of SALGA. Then this mandate is actually guiding us. So that is why was always with what is the role of SALGA, because municipalities are failing. Okay. Another thing that I should think one have to respond is that the power relations. I should think at a higher level, I should think we have to talk about those issues. The separation of powers, you will have, the council will actually delegate powers to the executive mayor, municipal manager, and the CFO, and the mayor and the CFO as well as the municipal manager. They've got assigned powers from the Act as well, okay? But in terms of how to manage those sort of the relations, that is why we said earlier on, we are not building a capacity of fighting. We are building a capacity of clarifying issues in our space of local government to deliver services to our community. So that is why we talk about the capacity building, because we train everybody. As a result, I remember Western Cape, they used to complain that after elections 2016, mayors, municipal managers, CFOs, and other strategic managers, we have trained them almost the whole year. DA was complaining that these guys, they go out because SALGA is actually taking them out of work. We were trying to build that capacity in terms of, you must understand what is it that you are doing here. So the political support chair at a provincial level, we have deployed members of the National Executive Committee to work at the provincial level. The proposal that we have to go out, and those people are there permanent. If there are problems in municipalities, NEC members of SALGA, they are working with the provincial structures to make sure that we stabilize our space. The challenges of us not implementing some of the programs that we have. I don't think if we have to be honest, the SALGA at the provincial level, we've got a structure there which is actually rolling out our programs. This APP that you see here is actually sort of taken from the same provinces and elevated at this level. Then we put them as a program of SALGA. It's a program that we're implementing here. I saw in our province almost every week, there is a week every month, I mean to say, where SALGA is actually trying to target specific managers, specific politicians, and make sure that they actually give them relevant tools to work in our space of local government. But Chair, if you allow me, or allow us to relax some of the questions here, for further engagement, for us to understand each other. But I should think as SALGA, we are willing, Chair, to spend a day or two with you. Ask us any question. After that meeting, you will be like us. I'm sorry.
Don't put money on it.
No, in terms of understanding. In terms of understanding. You will understand things like us.
Oh.
Earlier on, I said to the chair, we are disappointed. We are not happy about the outcome of the audit.
Mm-hmm.
The efforts that we have put there as SALGA are bigger than the outcome.
Mm.
Right. In terms of, I should think the minister is correct. In the MINMEC, SALGA we have actually sponsored a resolution that says people that are marching or picketing, they should not destroy the infrastructure of government. It must be treated as a serious offense. If need be, we can charge people in the sabotage.
Yeah.
If need be, we can charge people at the highest level. But it should not be only malicious damage of property. We can also charge people in the treason. So we should not smile. Tomorrow, the same people, they can put poison in our reservoirs if we are not actually controlling this situation. We have to control the situation as a government of the day. And we should not be smiling because it's my colleague, it's my friend. As long you touch the infrastructure of government, there must be serious charges. We are also proposing to this committee to represent that view as we get to Parliament. I should think I can just pause there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Bruce, the DG also of cooperative government also wants to say something. Then, for a follow-up again, okay. You want him to say something before then you follow up? The DG, I have to recognize the DG.
Sheriff, yeah, that's
yeah. Fine. DG?
Thanks, Chair President. There was a question as to whether the grant that DCOG assists SALGA with, whether it is adequate or not. Would they say it consists 5% of their revenue? Now I think we could have a discussion with SALGA, but I think I just wanted to show the following fact that it might look like we get it. Yesterday we showed that although our budget as COP is about 90.7 billion, but 85 billion goes to the transfers. Of course including to SALGA, but mainly it goes to the municipalities. Now 4 billion, which is that CWP, although it looks like it's with us, but we transfer it to the non-profit organization.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we transfer around 90 billion mm-hmm. out. Okay? So now, if SALGA's salaries as percentage of OPEX
mm-hmm.
Is 64%, of course, as you have said, Chair, the norm is about 33%,
mm-hmm.
so 33%. So
mm-hmm.
the it is, of course, above the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but after we have done transfers as well, DCOG budget is less than that of SALGA.
Mm-hmm.
After we have done, what is left with us to do our business
mm-hmm.
Is less than that of SALGA. Now, the DTA, which is the Department of Traditional Affairs, their budget is 163 million, again, way below SALGA's one. MISA's budget, 343, again, way below that one of SALGA. But of course, in some situations, because of the crisis in the municipalities, which ACT and SALGA have to then say, what resources do we have, and then channel them to those to the municipalities. We have had situations where it is not MISA's job to go and build a bridge. But because the communities, there was an outcry. With the small amount that we give them, they took 11 million and they built a bridge in Mbashe.
Mm-hmm.
So when we discuss whether there could be increases on this grant or that, that should just be the context. That's the point I wanted to make.
Honorable Brent.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me just begin by saying I think it's a bit of an unfortunate statement to say by the chair that because of the quality of your question, I think you need more training. Many of the people here come from local government. So although there might be some new members of parliament, we have experience of local government and we've got experience of SALGA. And the question to you was, do you think that SALGA has a contribution of the fault of the decline of certain aspects of local government? As I said, it was an invitation for you to introspect so that you can make a better contribution. It wasn't an attack to which you felt you had to defend yourself. But maybe, I mean, that's the point. That answer remains, that question remains unanswered, Chair. Is SALGA introspecting about its contribution to the deterioration of local government? Then, Chair, the last question, I think, and thanks very much for the gentleman, his answer on the ESCOM debt. I think the one aspect of that question that remains unanswered is the progress that you're making in the interministerial task team that is looking at this. So if ESCOM is forcing coerced settlement agreements and there's a better way of doing it, such as Bayer's not here, is this being raised in the interministerial committee and are you making progress? Do you see the light? I don't expect a full disclosure of that process, just some update of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. It would be just a little bit. I think Councillor Stofield, Councillor Stofield, Honourable Chair, remind me about Maruta Perform. I was there in Maruta Perform. We were doing door to door there, Councillor Stofield. Councillor Stofield, I'll talk better. They don't have mayor in the first place. They don't have mayor. Where did our poor, all the poorest would be getting the service? Through you, Chair. The South guy must go and
you
sort it out.
There's no mayor.
There's no mayor.
There's a trophy mayor.
There is no mayor at all. No mayor. There are just people staying without mayor. I was there. There is no water. The cranes. They were cranes. Bantaba means you can just give us water. Just water. There is no mayor in Maruta Perform. Who knows? The mayor was corrupt there. They took mayor. Actually, I don't know where he is now. Or maybe it's in jail or it's whatever, I don't know, the mayor, where is he? But there is no mayor there, was there. You remind me about Maruta Perform, and also, you remind me about the bridge. When you talk about the bridge, in, no, not in Pati, Tukara River, where there is a Indiana, mainstream. Yeah, and together. Yeah. There, people were crying about the bridge for the long time, since we took a government, we took power. People are crying about the bridge. 25 people dead there when they are trying to cross the river. 25. Even if you can arrive there, put a move your one villa, one table. How many people they died in this? They'll tell you in the stairs that I have. 25 people. They have been crying. But through your chair, that municipality is under the IFP. But IFP doesn't do anything about people there. I want to tell you now.
Let's start a war now.
The honorable member, he knows what I'm saying. He knows. This is the chief. He knows. He's on a level of the chief. He knows. IFP doesn't do anything. There is no water. There is no bridge. People are dying. I'm not saying it's your case, it's SALGA. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to you, as you said here, you are assisting about building capacity, about whatever, monitoring, evaluation, whatever. Can you advise these municipalities? to build a bridge there, because they do have money. What if they claim, the clean audit, why did they are taking money back to the national government every year, so that they'll be clean? You are not clean if you are not doing a service delivery about the money that you have given to deliver, but you put the money there to take it back every year. They are not doing. I'm telling you, Vinyard municipality, Tukara River, in close conjunction with the Indiana. Last time I was in Indiana, Baba, no Tugela. Indiana, no Tugela. There's no bridge there. Go there and ask neighboring people who are there. They will tell you. 25 people died there. Since we, and then,
okay.
They were crying about the bridge. Please, guys. And also in Johannesburg, irritated. Come here, municipality of Johannesburg. The municipality there is the DA. The municipality, held by the DA now. In
Johannesburg.
They are rating people not stable. Water. Even if there is no, if we are saying you and your family, they will charge you water like me who are doing business. They are not doing well. Please, thank you.
Okay. I think you just need to respond mainly what Mom Kizu was raising comments that you need to know seriously.
I must go and do my way.
Yes, that's what the secretary says. Bishop Demek, Honorable Mamkize. Then can we deal with the questions raised by Honorable Brink?
Quickly, Chair, page 8 of the presentation illustrates the mandate of SALGA. I want to repeat that again. Responding to that question, that what is our contribution in terms of the defaulting municipality? Chair? The reason for me to say that I was not trying to ridicule or to ridicule the questions, but I was trying to illustrate that we need a day in terms of clarifying the interdependent, interrelated, collective government. We've got three spheres of government. We've got powers that are actually allocated at the national level, we've got powers that are allocated at the provincial level, we've got powers that are allocated at the local level. So there is no way that SALGA can contribute to the defaulters in terms of assisting them to default. Because first and foremost, the first meeting of the council actually allocate powers to different offices. People, they actually decide to misuse powers that are given to them by council. Then they become defaulters. There is no way that you can get SALGA there. Okay? So that is why I said, I was not arrogant. I was trying to say, no, we need a relaxed sort of environment. We can also ventilate as well in terms of what are the issues on the ground. The IMTT, it was chaired by Cocta. We have realized that the business model of ESCOM is actually sort of taking more money from municipalities. And there is a plan of taking over the power of municipalities. There is a plan of ESCOM. Then we decided to approach court. The Presidential Coordinating Committee decided to establish this IMGT, of which SALGA was given a seat there. This IMGT appointed advisory committee to look at the constitution of the country, to say, can we look at that section of the constitution which says municipalities have got executive authority in terms of distributing electricity in their area of jurisdiction? The outcome was that municipalities, we were right. ESCOM, we have agreed that we must have what we call a technical team to map out and give a report to a political IMTT without actually sort of closing the business of ESCOM, without closing the business of municipality, but everybody must actually perform in his or her area without being sort of disturbed by somebody else. So ESCOM before elections, because president decided to cut ESCOM into three pieces. Therefore, ESCOM said, we are going to participate in that task team after a transformation of the institution. We said to them, no, you can't do that. We have to outline the responsibility of ESCOM and the responsibility of municipal local government as a sphere of government. So currently we are standing there in terms of finalizing that document. We need to have a concept document which is actually separating the powers of municipalities without disturbing the cash flow of ESCOM, the powers of ESCOM without disturbing the cash flow of ESCOM. So we have to meet each other halfway. That's the position currently. I don't know who's chairing.
Yes, thank you. Is there any last speaking questions? Or are we done? So now we'll just have to take a lunch. Because time is no longer on our side, you can make a lunch for 30 minutes. And then after 30 minutes, then we'll take the, the last conversation.
Thank you very much. That is why again we must go and
No, check on. There's a register here. I'll put my name there. Check the register.
There's a register.
Thank you.